These five tech giants revolutionized their industries, but today they are shells of their former selves. This is the story of how these five kings fell, starting with one that changed the printing industry. This video is brought to you by my startup, Silo's 7.39% yielding bond accounts. In 1938, an American physicist, Chester Carlson, had made a breakthrough. Up until this point, copying documents was expensive, time-consuming, and required all kinds of chemicals. It was messy and sometimes didn't even work. Carlson changed everything by inventing the first dry paper copier. It was quick, reliable, and extremely cheap. But he only had the invention. He needed a buyer. After an entire decade of searching, one company finally took interest, Xerox. They bought the license from Carlson in exchange for royalties, and when they released the Xerox 914, it was a smash hit. The dry copier changed the world of business, and soon, every office was using one. Carlson and Xerox made billions together, but Xerox still wasn't done. They continued to pioneer groundbreaking inventions. Using what they had learned, they created the very first laser printer, early iterations of computers and laptops, and even Ethernet technology. But there was a problem. Xerox had developed these amazing inventions, but they weren't great at selling them. They had become complacent and slow. Why? Their copiers were generating incredible revenue, so they didn't push other sides of the business forward, not even their breakthroughs. Soon, other companies began to copy them and were out-competing them in their own markets with their own inventions. But it didn't stop there. They fell further and further behind. As new technologies came into the market, Xerox just ignored them. Their executives were too comfortable, and soon their empire began to crumble. From the dominant player to an afterthought, today their stock price is at an all-time low, from over $150 to below 10. But this next company is even more groundbreaking and yet even more tragic. In 1957, eight engineers walked out of their workplace. They were frustrated with bad management and decided to make a bold move. The Traitorous Eight, as they were called, sought out funding and that year formed Fairchild Semiconductor. They had one goal: change the world of computing, and they had an idea of how to do it. Every computer uses tiny switches called transistors. These simply turn on and off a flow of electricity. Extremely simple, but computers have millions or even billions of them. Yet, at the time, these were extremely slow. Transistors were mostly made from an element called germanium. This allowed electricity to flow quickly, and because it melted at low temperatures, it was easy to make. But there lies the problem. As technology advanced, people noticed that germanium became unstable in hot environments. It was unreliable and computing had reached a major hurdle. Fairchild wanted to change this. How? By changing from germanium to silicon. Silicon had an extremely high melting point, so it performed better, was more stable, and transistors could be even smaller than germanium. To be fair, Fairchild wasn't the first ones with this idea, but they took it way further. Transistors and their interconnections could be fabricated together on a silicon wafer. This meant that chips could be much, much smaller, yet still incredibly powerful. With these changes, Fairchild had reinvented the semiconductor. The world of computing was changed forever. Not only that, this also birthed Silicon Valley, where this incredible R&D took place. The entire world of computing today is only possible thanks to this one company. But unfortunately, things took a turn for the worse. They had changed the world, but couldn't keep up with it. Fairchild made incredible profits from their success, but soon internal conflicts began to arise. This caused talent to leave left and right. Two of the original eight, including Robert Noyce, left to found their own company, Intel. Fairchild fell further and further behind the competition, and in 2016, Owen Semiconductor acquired Fairchild for $2.4 billion. Compared to their massive impact, this is a measly sum. While Fairchild changed the world of hardware, this next company changed the world of software. In 1995, Sun Microsystems made a breakthrough. They created a brand new coding language called Java. What made Java special? Well, it solved one of programming's biggest problems. Let's say you created some software in a language like C++. If you created it for Windows but wanted it to run on Mac, you needed to write separate code for both platforms. Java was different. Sun Microsystems had a clear philosophy with Java: write once, run anywhere. Naturally, this saved programmers a lot of time. You could write the code once without modifying it for each platform. This also meant you only had to test it once before deploying it. Java exploded in popularity. In a couple of years, it was one of the biggest programming languages in the world. Today, much of the operating system used in Android phones use Java, as thus arguably the biggest game in the world, Minecraft. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Sun Microsystems did much more than just Java. Sun also invented the groundbreaking network file system. With it, a computer could share files with another computer seamlessly in the same network. For businesses and offices, this changed everything. Office work was more efficient and collaboration was easier than ever. Everything was going great for Sun Microsystems, but they were about to face their biggest challenge yet. Their stock had grown fast. Too fast. This was the dot-com bubble, and in the year 2000, it burst. At their peak, Sun Microsystems stock was over $250, but just 2 years later, it had tumbled down to $10. But other companies like Microsoft, albeit after a long time, recovered from the crash. So why didn't Sun Microsystems? Well, the crash hurt them, but hurt their customers more, many of which were tech startups, most of which went out of business. But things got even worse. Sun had distributed Java for free to make it widely adopted, but this meant that they didn't make much money. Most of their revenue came from their server and file sharing systems, but soon, even that was at risk. New technologies began to pop up, like cloud computing, which made much of their business obsolete. They were eventually acquired by Oracle. Their peak market cap was $200 billion, but they were bought for only $7 billion. Even with all that said, Sun's impact was nothing compared to this next company. AT&T Bell Labs had possibly the biggest impact on computing, perhaps even more than Fairchild Semiconductor. They were a centralized research lab, and their innovations were astounding. In fact, they have so many inventions that it'd be impossible to list them all in this video. They invented the transistor itself, the core component of all computers. Not only that, they invented the laser, radio astronomy, and many groundbreaking programming languages like C and C++. All of these are monumental in their own right, and this barely scratches the surface of Bell Labs' accomplishments. For perspective, the company won 10 Nobel Prizes for their accomplishments, one of the highest honors in research. So, how did things go wrong? Well, Bell Labs was a division of AT&T, a giant conglomerate. They controlled most telephone services, among other technology industries. They were very much a monopoly and had too much power over the market. So in 1974, the US Department of Justice filed a lawsuit against AT&T. They argued their monopoly was stifling competition and innovation. After a decade of legal battles, the company's many divisions, including Bell Labs, were split up, meaning that Bell Labs had suddenly lost all of its resources. It could still perform research, but not to the same extent. And as time went on, the market began to change. Giant central research firms became less common as companies chose to perform R&D in-house. There was less of a need for companies like Bell Labs. Their relevance shrunk, and soon they were acquired by Nokia as a shell of their former selves. It's tragic, but there wasn't much Bell Labs could do after the breakup. It was out of their hands, but the same cannot be said for this next company. In the dot-com boom, internet traffic was growing rapidly, as was demand for network equipment and routers. At the time, the dominant player in this space was none other than Cisco, but soon another company began to challenge them. Juniper Networks was founded in 1996 and received tens of millions in venture capital, some from massive firms like AT&T. Just 2 years later, they released their first product, the M40 Internet Backbone Router. The product had one focus: faster internet traffic and in higher volume. It contained custom-designed silicon and was 100 times faster than most competitors and 10 times faster than Cisco's 12000 series. With high demand, money began flooding in for Juniper. Within just 1 year, 50 telecommunication companies were using the M40. Juniper began signing deals to distribute internationally, and their router was soon all across the world, from Europe to Hong Kong. But that was just the beginning. 1 year later, Juniper went public with an IPO and brought in a 2500x return for investors. Juniper was the darling of both Wall Street and the tech industry. So how did they fall from grace? Like their competitors, the dot-com burst hit hard, but Juniper did remain in the game. Unfortunately, they had all kinds of other challenges though. Newer competitors began to appear with newer, better routers, and despite their initial success, Juniper struggled to keep up. As technology progressed, Juniper fell behind with product launches, consistently delaying them, allowing competition to carve away their market share. And when their new routers and products finally did release, the quality was lacking. Juniper's brand began to suffer. Juniper is still around to this day, but their stock never recovered. Most of these firms had amazing success, but couldn't hold on to it. They gradually fell behind, and one of the best examples that shows us why comes from one of the most important men in business history. Henry Ford revolutionized the world with the assembly line, but sometime later, his competitors caught up and the market changed and innovated. But he couldn't accept it. While revolutionary, he held on to his past success, and soon Ford fell behind. Most of these companies were the same. They pioneered incredible changes, but that success won't last forever. Markets will always evolve, and first movers don't always last. You need to keep innovating to remain relevant. And that brings us to Silo's 7.39% yielding bond accounts. We're the modern bond platform that only charges $1 per bond. Also, we're currently running a 3% deposit bonus. Pair this with a 1-year treasury note that's currently yielding 4.39%, and you can lock in 7.39% for the first year, regardless of whether interest rates are cut. This offer is only available for the first $1 million in deposits. So if that sounds interesting, click the link below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.